Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Skadden coming to you live from North Carolina. And just a warning that it's raining and thundering and a lot of wind today. So if my internet goes out, that might be why. But I'll try to make this fast and get through everything today. And yesterday, we at noon, and last night, we played our interview with Natasha because it was something for us to really chew on. And I'm still processing through a lot of what she said, because it's just another level of revelation. I've known Natasha for pretty much my whole life. When I was younger, I didn't understand a lot, but now as I'm starting to realize and get involved myself in these prayers and spiritual battles, of a lot of the stuff she's been teaching for such a long time are relevant, especially in a time of battle. And they've dealt with stuff in South Africa for years at a layer deep than what we are dealing with. And we're starting to see those things that they've been dealing with throughout the world. So that revelation and knowledge is what is much needed now more than ever. And I kind of want to build off of something that she talked about yesterday of how as we're in our reordering, or we're going through this reordering our day book here and looking at the things we can do in the morning, ask for to reorder our day, to get in right alignment, to be more effective with our time, to be good stewards of the resources the Lord has given us and will give us. Is she talked about it a little bit yesterday about how we have to perpetually make these throughout the day. Priests would, you know, go and make the morning and evening sacrifices. And the verse of the day today is Matthew 20, verse 1. And it's very simple. I mean, very clean, straight to the point. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard." Somebody put in here, "I heard Robert Henderson said he learned about the courts of heaven from Natasha." Yes, absolutely. The original Courts of Heaven book that Robert Henderson wrote, Natasha and her Ariel Gate publication actually were his publishers, and they were his editors, and they helped him write it. And yes, he sat under her for that. He actually at that time came to Shreveport, came to Christian Center and spoke about it. He was part of his launch tour started in Shreveport at our church. So kind of a side note there on that whole thing. And he's taken a deeper revelation on that as he studied and spent time with it. But back to the verse, sorry, as I digress, is we see here, "For the kingdom of heaven," you know, the Lord's prayer, as in on earth as it is in heaven. We see this example of us going out in the morning. And the point here for us personally is to seek the Lord and ask him for the help that we need throughout the day. It is as we've come out of this prayer time, we go throughout our days, ask the Lord to give you, to help you find, I need to reword that, that's not right. It is to help you find the help you need for the coming day. So I'll reword that and put that in the comment section. That's not correct. Chuck said, let me read it actually from him. "Ask the Lord to help you find the help you need for the coming day." And even at night, you know, ask the Lord, "Father, help me find the help I need for the next day," etc. Continually. And that help could, Holy Spirit, if you have a business, if you have whatever, you need people, you need laborers yourself, whatever the case may be, that whatever that strength is, finding the help you need in this season and for the destiny that the Lord's written about you before you were even in your mother's womb. So that's the focus here. And as we go into praying for the office of the president, I think that's something we need to be praying for. Yes, we're praying for them to have the fear of the Holy Spirit. But it's like, Father, give them the help that they need to be able to walk out the destiny of this nation in the positions that they're in. Now, it's in their court to make that decisions themselves, to adhere or walk away from it. And just as Zelensky himself has to make that decision and Putin himself has to make that decision. So it's a basic principle that can be applied to every form of leadership and position that people are in, and starts with the family, ourselves, throughout our day. So let's build upon that today as we go through the news. And what we're seeing now is about an hour and a half ago, 2 hours ago, Zelensky spoke before NATO, making some claims and trying to persuade NATO to give him more funds, ammunition, air support, still pushing for the no-fly zone, things of that nature, and calling on NATO to say, hey, look, we've meet your alliance standard, your supposed standard that you have for having a military as they're standing up against Russia. I think it's more spiritual than what he's realizing in the natural. And I think it shows the heart of the Ukrainian people. And let's remember, prophetic that has been released from Chuck and others is that Ukraine will have to fight for themselves. And right now they're doing that in the natural. It's hard for these countries to get involved because of the corruption that has been in Ukraine. They kind of want to stay out of it. They don't want to get involved. They don't want to, you know, have a bad look in the court of public opinion. And God's saying to Ukraine, you're going to have to stand up and fight for yourself. And that's what's happening. And they're doing a pretty good job of that. There's now reports coming out that they have started to push back the Russian troops on towards the outer outskirts of Ukraine, of Kiev, excuse me. And there's also reports that Russian troops are digging in to their positions around Kiev. And it's looking like what the Russian troops are trying to do is divide Ukraine east to west, like Berlin, take the eastern portions, the Donbass and those other regions that they try to fight for before, take the ports of Mariupol and really secure those. But then there's also reports that the Ukrainians struck the Russian Navy in the ports, have taken on another general. If that's true, that's the fifth general, Russian general, that they've taken out. Now, I mean, these could just be Boy Scout badges, basically, that Putin was handing out to his buddies. Not necessarily sure that they actually are true generals, but at the end of the day, for the Russian troops, this is your leader. This is who you're supposed to be looking at, and that's supposedly the fifth general, if it's true. Again, as Natasha said yesterday, we don't know what's true. It's a time of war. We'll see. Now, you're also hearing reports of NATO saying that Russia has potentially lost between 7,000 and 15,000 troops in Ukraine, about 1,500, I believe, on the Ukrainian side. And then you have, which I think is important, this is the discussion, the military discussion of supposedly Putin's close allies are talking about and warning of nuclear dystopia, while you have our administration talking about chemical warfare, things of this nature. And so when we pray, just repent, for these, as we talked about yesterday, repenting for these false narratives that have come out of the church that Putin himself has taken and run with. And what's to come next of Lord, this is your battle. Lord, what is your cry over Russia? Lord, what is our government's involvement? What is our military's involvement in this? Father, give them wisdom as they seek these things. And then you have the economic portion of this, where now Putin wants quote-unquote unfriendly countries, basically countries who have backed out of agreements that they've had with Russia, put sanctions on them, their oligarchs, their people, and have harmed their country. And one thing that's coming out of this is he wants them to pay for Russian gas in rubles. That's a, and the report talks about it, that's a very sticky situation because Russia and a lot of these companies that produce gas and sell gas and oil, they have debt payments to pay the U.S. government, U.S. creditors, and they need to pay it in dollars. So if you're paying in rubles and you have to worry about exchange rates and then you lose, possibly lose money, potentially default on debt. A lot of these companies, there was a report this morning from the Wall Street Journal that talked about some of these companies and even the government itself is having transactions problems because of the sanctions being put on from big banks, Citigroup, et cetera. One of the major companies that's involved in this, and they're having problems of securing a transfer route of payment to the creditors, which could see potential harm falls not only in the oil and gas industry, but possibly as sanctions continue to rise and inflation and prices increase and rise on fertilizers, steel, all the natural resources coming out of Russia and the Ukraine region, which is going to, it's going to rise for those commodities. And it's going to hurt the third world countries who some produce these products. These countries who are cash strapped are going to have problems. And look, this is just the natural events. I'm just laying this out there as a prayer. Or if the Lord calls you to donate somewhere to some of these countries, send food that you know of a ministry who will help supply resources to these countries. Seek the Lord. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying seek the Lord. This is the natural events that are happening. And so we need to be sober and aware of what's happening. Then we also have, which this is interesting, and we'll see how this affects the future positioning of the Ukrainian army and military and Putin's position is the U.S. is accusing Russia of war crimes. And there have been horrendous reports of, you know, killing civilians, raping women, killing the husbands, raping the women, which unfortunately happens in times of war. There's been reports of children out of Mariupol and other districts that Russia has control over, sending them and sending anybody that they get control over back to Russia, where to, what to, what camps, what livelihood do they have now? So there's a lot going on here. And as we inch closer towards this meeting, these meetings that Biden is having with NATO leaders, heard from Zelensky this morning, their afternoon, our time, it's about 2:45 p.m. in Brussels, where President Biden is at. You're now hearing that Russia leaders are likely to green light major increases in troops on the eastern flank. And naturally, what this means is that Russia may consider this an act of war. And Jake Sullivan has said that this will be a long-term, a slow ending towards this conflict. Chuck Pierce talked about that a couple weeks ago about how this is going to last a while. So we need to be aware of that in these situations. Obviously, we want to pray for the end of the war, the end of the conflict, and protection of the Ukrainian people and the church and the body of Christ there, more importantly. But this is going to be the focus of right now, of today, literally as we're speaking right now. This is the focus of the Biden administration, is to meet with NATO allies seeking more support. What does that mean? Does it mean more troops, more armament, humanitarian supplies, what resources they need? That's what is being discussed right now. So we want to intercede for the Biden administration to have the fear of the Lord and listen to the Holy Spirit when dealing with Russia and NATO allies and on Ukraine and China as well. Because those meetings are happening right now. And we also want to pray and intercede for Biden to have a blanket of protection around him from his staff as he potentially is in having these moments of, we don't know when they are, these moments of dementia. And then also it's later in the day, and usually he doesn't do well at this time of the day, and being with international travel and the stress he's under just as the president of the United States, and then added this on top of it. So we just want to pray for a blanket of protection on him during these meetings that are going on probably later today, our day, and into his night, which are not good. And if he's not there, then it's his administration. And so that's why we want to pray for his administration and him as well during these meetings, during these conversations that are being had about what to do. Because we need wisdom. This Natasha talked about it, is let's present our case before the Lord humbly, repentantly, and saying, Lord, this is yours. Vengeance belongs to yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. Our battle is not in flesh and blood. Host of issues, just leave it in the Lord's hands. And there's good reports coming out of Ukraine, and there's bad reports. It's a time of war. Ukraine is defending itself, capturing assets, defeating assets of the Russian military, but also it has been giving up some ground as Mariupol has been basically evacuated. Women and children have left because it needs to. They're most without power, without water. There's been no food getting in, so they're under a wartime economy, and they're having to make decisions, and some are deciding to leave, and nations are taking them in. So that's where the situation with Ukraine is, and we want to focus in on the office of the president, praying for them to have the fear of the Lord and the wisdom and revelation of the Holy Spirit to protect the president during this time of meeting. Okay, now I want to shift real quickly to some interesting news. It looks good, but let's also understand the caveat behind it. Of there are 10 CEOs who have urged and sent a letter to President Biden to eliminate the masks on planes. Now, the caveat is that they weren't saying that when Biden was giving them millions and millions of dollars in stimulus money and telling them that you have to put mask mandates on. They're saying it now because people are tired of it. I've flown on planes recently. It's stupid. And most of the time, the flight attendants don't even force you to wear it. But everybody's sitting there. You're cram-packed, 2 feet within each other. You can still, feel each other's spit and breath as you're sitting next to each other. And then the fact of these airlines have actually cleaned up their air filtration systems, cleaning the planes. It's better than it was before. So there have been some good things to come out of this. And now they're asking, oh, well, please eliminate this because people are tired of it. They're tired. They see the ridiculousness of it. And so there's the caveat of that. So things are starting to shift all of the sudden. And then another one is the story out of New York, where the governor is today expected to lift vaccine mandates for only performers and athletes who are on New York teams, but not out of state teams and out of city teams. If they have unvaccinated players, then those unvaccinated supposedly can't play. This is coming right after the campaign promise to not create special caveats, carve-outs for performers and athletes. Is if we're going to do something, we're going to do it for the entire city. And then he talks about, I don't want to have the city to be shut down. I'm worried about 9 million people, not one person. But the fact is that the only reason the city shut down was because of policies from the government. So it's kind of a redundant, idiotic statement to say, I don't want it to have to shut down, but you're the person who could potentially cause it to shut down. He wasn't the person to do it, but the person in that position before was the person to shut down the city. So it's kind of a idiotic statement to see there, but also the fact of it shows that if you stand up to the ridiculousness of these policies, even if it costs you something, as it has cost Kyrie Irving, eventually people are going to give in, and you don't have to do whatever they say because you still have freedom of choice. You still have the possibility of owning up to it. And there are other athletes in the MLB who are holding the line just like him. And you're seeing the reversal in a time of eventually the rest of the world catching up towards freedom. So that's very interesting. Because now there have been reports, and I'll put a link to this. If you don't have an Epoch Times subscription. I'm not sure you'll be able to see the full report, but basically what it is now that the FDA has started to release the Pfizer data of the early on, you're seeing, and I don't want to point this out, you're seeing now the actual evidence of what happened on the early rollouts of the COVID jabs. And the importance is that the narrative was they were safe, they're reliable, they'll be able to prevent you from getting COVID. Now it's turned to, well, they'll be able to prevent you from getting this severity of what COVID could cause to you. But I want to read this one paragraph. This says it all. Of the early portions that have been put out, one of the early findings is that a small batch of documents released by the U.S. FDA in mid-November 2021 revealed that in the first 3 months of COVID jab rollout, Pfizer received 42,086 adverse events reports that included 1,223 deaths within the first 3 months. That was not talked about at that time. That would have changed the narrative. And the article goes on to talk about how there was a former nurse educator, John Campbell, who is in the video somewhere that's linked in here. I'll try to find that and link that and post that, that talked about how this is huge. Because if you're saying that your whole equation of why you're making decisions because numbers are so low, but that's not real, that's not reality, and you're telling us this is true, you're telling us to rely upon this, your whole narrative is shown, is blown. And now, you know, you have Moderna talking about how their research shows that the vaccines for children under the age of 6 months, it's safe. Their research shows. Can we trust that? Can we see that? Is the question. And let's learn from the past, the mistakes of the past, rather than just getting angry and blah, blah, blah. Okay, what questions should we be asking? What questions should we be asking our politicians to ask? What questions should we be asking our leaders and our medical officials to be asking? Rather than just giving in and saying, hey, we're just going to do this blindly for whatever reason. I'm not saying everybody did that, but there were some who did. And so the benefit is that this stuff is coming out. And realizing the reality of this stuff, that we're had a lot of questions around it. And so hopefully moving forward, people can assess this, take this into consideration, and use this as a learning example, whether you know you took the vaccine or not. Okay, moving on to the Supreme Court issue is moving forward to the final day of testimony hearings. Katinja Brown Jackson will not be there for the full day. They're going to have outside counsel who are going to come in and talk about whether she is actual credible. But the Democrats are still pushing forward before the 2 week recess before April 8th. So they're going to try to get this done. That's been the whole push for the Biden administration, trying to get this done as soon as possible before Justice Breyer can resign, to have somebody in his place by this, after this session of SCOTUS cases that they're hearing. And unfortunately, the middle ground of senators who would confirm or deny her are really staying silent. I think they're waiting to hear the full testimony of her. And what it's leaning towards is, unfortunately, she will be confirmed out of the committee and then onto the open seat that's coming. There are legitimate questions and concerns as to her philosophy, judicial philosophy, and whether she's actually qualified for this position. I've heard a lot of lawyers say her basic assessment is very of someone of a lower court. If she were to be considered for this, she should have had more time on the courts that she's been on, and she unfortunately hasn't. Also, there's concerns around her, the fact that she's a former prosecutor, and really focusing on the rehabilitation aspect of the people she's sentencing rather than the punishment of fitting it to the crime that they've committed, and then adding in her political activism involved in that. And what it would really come down to is Murkowski, Collins, Romney, Ben Sasse, Lindsey Graham and on the Republican side, they would all have to vote no. Some of them looks like are leaning yes. And then you'd have to have at least, if every Republican voted no to deny her confirmation, you would have to have a couple of Democrats as well to get over that 51 threshold. You'd want to get to 52. So you would want Manchin and Sinema to say no. They're staying mum as they're waiting to hear. And they'll probably stay mum until they actually vote. Won't put pressure either way on themselves. So what that means is these type of philosophies are going to be heard from the Supreme Court. But know that on some cases she does rule properly. The Democrats need to point that out. But there's some cases where there's a political motivation behind what she's doing, and she allows, especially on child pornography and other cases, she puts a political agenda behind it. And then that's scary. That's judicial activism. That's not how the court was designed to operate. But good news out of the Supreme Court. This is actually huge news. It doesn't determine the full future of the congressional maps, but out of Wisconsin, the Supreme Court, Amy Coney Barrett, sent this case to the Supreme Court, and the full court heard it and decided that a congressional map put in place by the Wisconsin Supreme Court was not legal. And so now they're going to have to go back and decide how to draw the new maps with the census that was taken, which is good because stuff like this is happening across the country where certain portions of the state legislatures, gubernatorial houses, Supreme Courts are making decisions on what they want for their own political activist reasons. And the Supreme Court is saying no, because that's not the legal way of how you draw maps. And in this case, there was a technicality of why the Supreme Court decided to go with a certain map over the map that was put in place by other lawmakers because of the assessment that it may potentially need to be mapped this way versus what the law actually says. And so this is leading up to the midterms of the battle around districting lines of who gets in what seats, who's voting for what seats. So this is great news coming out of that. And in all of this is this shows a proper stance to take of, okay, you're angered by what the Supreme Court did in Wisconsin. For let's take the position of the Wisconsin people who filed the lawsuit, the Republicans there. They were angered. They didn't like how things went down. They used that anger to let them be a brave heart in this season and followed the proper legal procedures, submitted the court, filed a lawsuit, went to the court, had the proper argument, and the case was heard. And because of how the laws play out in the court systems, they followed the procedures that were meant to be followed and they won their case. Now, does that mean they completely won? The battle still rages on. And so I point that out to say is in all of this stuff that we're angry about, let's repent for letting our anger keep us stuck in the mud, keep it this frustration of pointing the finger and the victimhood and all this stuff. And let's intercede for these brave hearts, whether it be ourselves or other people, to get involved in the areas that God has called them to get involved in. And let's understand that there are those who are called for certain positions. Not everyone can be the president of the United States. Not everyone has the temperament, the knowledge, and the understanding of it. Just not everyone was meant to be the king of Israel. We all have our giftings and our callings that the Lord's called us to, and we need to arise in those positions, and especially in this season for those who are of basic freedom, natural law loving people, to arise who can be the leaders that God has called them to be. God will use anybody who's in those positions, and we would want them to seek their full reward in the positions and the destiny and the calls that God has given them. So let's remember these things. And I think Elaine asks, is Karen asking any book recommendations? Yes, you can read. Honestly, do I have it here? I might have it on my bookshelf. Hold on, give me one second. I think it's called Operate. I'll find the link. It's called Operating the Courts of Heaven by Robert Henderson. It's a great book. But really, if you read Natasha's book, I put the link of it yesterday on last night's replay of the Protocols of the Kingdom. That's a deeper level of the Courts of Heaven. And if you understand that, and the Courts of Heaven book becomes so much simpler. It's very meaty. So you asked about a book recommendation. You can read Robert's Courts of Heaven book, but then also Natasha's Protocols of the Kingdom. No, I have Travailing Intercessor there. But Protocols of the Kingdom is a great book. It's very wordy. It's very meaty. It's something you cannot go through very fast. You have to take it literally paragraph by paragraph and break it down. But that's a good resource. Yes, it is on Amazon. It's also on their website. I'll find the link here real fast and I'll put it up. But that's a great book for both of those. Robert Henderson's Courts of Heaven, which is a easier understanding of what Natasha's teaching. But then Natasha's Protocols of the Kingdom is a very, very, very important book now in the days ahead. But it's very meaty. Let me say that. She comes from a mature background of dealing with this stuff on a day-to-day basis, especially in South Africa. So it's a very great resource. But I'll close on that. So thank you, Jeeva, one of you, for following along. Today, we'll have a conversation that I had with John, continuing on a lot of the cultural dynamics and how we define worldviews and how we see worldviews, and giving us some practicals on that. So that'll be the day. And then tomorrow we'll close out the week with our noon prayer live, reminding us to continue to reach out to the courts of heaven for the Lord's will with a humble and repentant heart, with the voice that the Lord has given us in this season and in the season ahead, so that the destiny of the nation can be reached and souls can be saved. So blessings, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Have a good one.